بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Today we start with the first book or the first virtue in the section of the Munjiyat. That is the virtues, actions, the characters that lead to salvation. Now, as we all know, that Ghazali actually was a very good faqih, and this is reflected in most of what he has even written. Once a faqih, always a faqih, as I said. But the thing that he sort of saw that was deficient or in the fiqh of the time, and even in the fiqh of our time, if you look at it, is that when we talk about fiqh, or even when we teach in madrasa about fiqh, what we say, Furu'ud-Din, 10. There are 10 furus of the deen. But there aren't 10 furus of the deen. There are millions of furus of the deen. And even those 10 which we teach are not the most important as well. I mean, there are lots of others which are very important. This is what he has brought out in the Munjiyat actually. This he considers as furus. And when dealing with them, he says, he comes up with fiqhi terms like, is this wajib or what is this? And things that we all know. Anybody who reads the Quran, reads some of the hadith, listens to any lectures in Islam or has any awareness of Islamic literature, finds these things, that they are there. But when we go and look at the fake books, they are absent. If you go open up any of the risalas of any of the Maharajas, they are not there. The first one he brings is Tawbah. Tawbah, we know, everybody knows about Tawbah, repentance. Now, is it wajib or isn't it? I mean, if you ask, we get a bit sort of confused. I mean, nobody's ever said it that way. I mean, is it wajib? Go and open up any risala. Does it say Babu Tawbah or Kitabu Tawbah or this Tawbah? Open up the Quran, you find millions of ayahs talking about Tawbah and why don't you do Tawbah and hadith and all these things. So if everything is brought out from the Quran and the Hadith, so why isn't Tawbah there in fiqh books? I don't know. And so on and so forth, all the other, shukr, gratitude, sabr, all these things are there in the Quran, in the Hadith, but they are not in our fiqh books. They don't tell us how to, is it wajib to do shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I don't know. Is it wajib? No faqih has said it. If I don't do it, am I a sinner or am I not a sinner? If I don't do tawbah, am I a sinner? Everybody knows, yeah, you are a sinner. If you don't do tawbah, obviously you are staying in sin. So anyway, so we begin this thing that he actually wanted to plug the holes, and that's why he has come up with these things. So we begin with tawbah. And he says tawbah is the first stage actually when you want to improve yourself. And obviously it is. Tawbah means to repent, or literally to turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Turn away from what you are doing and go towards Allah, as if you have gone astray. Now, the thing that we can see is that, and he says, and most of the urafas are built upon it, is that there is this continuous flow of love from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to all His slaves, all His creatures. And there is something within us that receives, or is capable of receiving this love and making use of it. And with it we live actually. Even life is part of love, and this flows from Allah and everything else. Now, doing sin is like sort of trying to cover this receptacle up so that it's not capable of receiving the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Tawbah is sort of wiping this away, cleaning it again, keeping it polished, so that it reflects the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whenever we do a sin, it is like we are trying to cover this up, or we are reducing the power of this receptacle to receive the love of Allah. And Tawbah is wiping it again, realizing this, and saying, no, I have to turn back and avoid it. Now he says, and this is also sort of borne out by many of the hadiths, Tawbah consists of three things put together in various ways, and sometimes even on all, in one of the all these three components, Tawbah, the word Tawbah is applied. Tawbah, he says, consists of ilm, first of all, knowledge. But that is obvious. I mean, if you don't know you have done something wrong, you cannot do Tawbah. So you have to know what is wrong or right, or that you have done something wrong. The other thing, ilm, then there is hal, there is a condition. The condition of remorse, of feeling sorry for something that you have done bad. And the third thing he says is action. So first you have to have the knowledge. Without this knowledge, you won't have this condition. If you don't know you have done something wrong, there is no way that you will feel remorse. Second feeling, or the condition of remorse, feeling remorse, and being sorry for what you have done, and extremely sorry, that this sorrow then drives you to action. And the action is either related with the past, the present, or the future. If it is a sin that you have to sort of atone for it, if you have taken somebody's maal, or robbed something, or done something bad which is related to others, then you have to first atone for it. You have to, as even the Quran, or most of the ayahs that you read, fataba wa asla, that is to repair the damage you have done. So if you've taken money from somewhere, stolen, then you pay it back. That is first action of things in the past. In the present, he says, is to have this conviction or this resolve that I will not do this again. Now this is very important, that I am not, the resolve that I am not going to do it again. In fact, we have hadith which say that anybody who makes tawbah, says astaghfirullah, I seek forgiveness, but he is still continually doing that thing from which he is seeking tawbah, then he is making fun of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as somebody else says, many of our tawbah or istighfar is such that it itself requires istighfar. Because we are making tawbah, continually doing it, so it itself has become a bad act. Making fun of Allah is after all a bad act, so that we have to go and do istighfar for it again. Istighfar for our istighfar. But as far as tawbah itself is concerned, there are hadiths which say that when you do tawbah after a sin, then the slate is wiped clean. There is nothing on you, as if you didn't do the sin at all. And all, you know, even our hadiths, lots of them, saying that a person who does tawbah is like he didn't sin at all. In fact, in the Quran I find something else which is even more surprising, is that a person who does tawbah is actually better than the person whose slate is wiped clean. And as, for example, in Ramzan also, those who listen to Milan, he pointed it out. There is this ayah that says, Allah yubaddilu Allahu sayyati hasanat, that Allah changes his bad acts into good acts. So the bad act he did has been changed into a good one. So after doing tawbah, you are in positive, in the black. I mean, if you are in the red, now you are in the black. You have got more. It's like owing somebody some money, and after tawbah, he says, not only now you owe that, but I owe you what you owed me. So if you are in the debt of 10,000, now he is going to give you 10,000. Instead of you having to pay him, or he's saying, okay, now we are zero. No, not zero. I'll pay you 10,000. So that the Quran, and also Ghazali say, will come later on, says that yeah, there is this tawbah as well. So first of all, it begins with the sort of praise or the emphasis, or even the there are so many hadiths which says how pleased Allah is with somebody who does tawbah. One of them in the Quran, and also in many of the du'as we read, is that Allah loves those who make tawbah. So love of Allah is there. The other hadith which there in both our books and the Sunni books is that Allah is extremely happy with somebody who makes happy. And his happiness, given as an example of a person who is traveling in the wilderness or in the desert with a camel, and the camel has all his supplies. He falls asleep and the camel runs away. And how desperate this man is. And how happy he would be once he finds it after sort of being extremely thirsty and hungry and sleepless, and then suddenly he finds it. he's there. How Allah is even more happy than this person when he sees a person doing tawbah. So tawbah, and another thing which we must remember, that one of the prerequisites of tawbah is that tawbah can never be done by somebody who has got takabbur. Shaitan, it was very easy for shaitan when Allah said, look, you have done something bad, instead of saying, give me life until the day of judgment and I can sort of destroy everybody and make everybody go astray. As some of the ulamas have put in the poetic form, it would have been better for him. He says, "Atubu ilayka, ya Allah," instead of saying, "Ah, give me life and do this and I'll destroy everybody." Atubu, and he'll be forgiven, and his status would have been restored. But he was being removed because of his takabbur, and takabbur never goes with tawbah. Nobody who thinks he is great and big and this is going to say, "No, I've made a mistake, and I have to seek forgiveness of Allah." So tawbah is there, that never matches with takabbur. Tawbah is part of tawazu, of humility, humbleness. Now, there is another thing which comes with in the chapter of tawbah, and that is, even in the Quran, we have this thing, that sins are divided into two groups. Some are known as the saghair, the small sins, and the others are the kabair. And we also hear about it. But the funny thing is that none of the fuqahas or none of the scholars are agreed as to what are the kabairs. Some say 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 11, 100, this. Nobody is agreed upon this thing. Now, it is important in the sense that even in the Quran it says that anybody who keeps away from the kabair, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will yukaffiru, that is, takfir is to wipe away, to cover away his small sins. So he doesn't have to worry about the small sins. I mean, the slippages. I mean, every day in life, I mean, you slip, you make mistakes. So this Allah will forgive him as long as he keeps away from the kabair. And also we have hadith from both Sunnis and Shias which say that the 5 times prayers and the Jummah prayer, anybody who does the 5 times prayers and the Jummah prayers from day to day and week to week, then he doesn't have to worry about his small sins. This is a kafara. This is a sort of atonement. These prayers, this is a sort of tawbah from the small sins. Allah will clear them away. So there is this chapter as to what is the kabair. Now, as far as our hadith is concerned, even in the Sunni scholars, I mean, they say kabair is anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that the punishment is fire, hell fire. Now, what are these things? People are divided, ulamas are divided, and there is a hadith which I'll quote from Kafi so that you can get an idea of what these kabairs are. Somebody asked the Imam about the kabair, and he said, "Hunna fi kitabi Ali sab'a." This in Imam Ali's kitab. We have a tradition, Imam Ali had a book which was passed from one Imam to another Imam. In this book are 7. And then he lists them. Al-kufr billah, it's kufr. Wa qatlun nafs, killing somebody, murder. Wa uququl walidain. Uququl walidain is to, the literal is translated as disobedience to the parents, but it's not actually disobedience. To be bad to your parents, right? To be a bad child as a whole. Wa aklur riba ba'd al bayyina. To take riba, interest, after it has become evident that this is not allowed. Wa aklu mal al yatim. Eating the wealth of the orphan. Zulman, that is without any cause. I mean, you can take the mal of a yatim if you are looking after him, you can take, that is all. But zulman, without unjustly. Well, farar min az-zahf, to run away from the battlefield. Wat ta'arrub ba'd al-hijra, to become a nomad after becoming settled, after the hijrah. That is, after the hijrah is hijrah of the Prophet from Makkah to Medina, After that, there is no ta'arruf. Anybody who is settled has to remain settled and become, should not become a nomad again, start roaming around. So then the Ravi, then the, this hadith goes on, Kala Ravi Kultu, Wahaza Akbar al Ma'asi. These are the biggest of the sins. The Imam said, Na'am. So he said, the Ravi says, then I said, that eating for aklu dirham min malil yatim zulman akbar am tarka salat. He said, is taking one dirham from the wealth of an orphan bigger sin than leaving prayers? So he said that the Imam said, kala tarku salat. So the Imam asked, what, leaving the prayers? And I said, yes, you did not count it. Ma adatta tarka salat fil kabair. You did not count, you did not enumerate leaving prayers amongst the kabair of the big sins. So it cannot be a big sin, and this is a big sin, so it must be bigger. Fakala. Then the Imam said, ayyu shayin awwala ma qultu lak. He said, what is the first thing I told you? He said, kufr. Fa inna tariku salat kafir. Then the Imam said that the person who leaves salat is a kafir. I have a, he is bigger, it's a bigger sin. Then the Ravi, or I mean, it's a confusion as to who said it. Yani an ghairi illatin. Then they say that it means from without any excuses. So it is a confusion whether the Imam said this or the Ravi sort of says it. His interpretation, the tarikus salat an ghairi illatin, that anybody who leaves prayers without any excuse, just leave it. This is kufr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is of the kabair. So as you see, these are sab'ah. Now there are many others sometimes that come in. And even in our, not that sort of, not all our hadith sort of stick to this seven. And there are many hadith of ours which sort of enumerate many other things which are not given here. And so, for example, one of the things that comes in many of our hadiths and Sunni hadiths is in all these things is kasful muhsinat, that is to make a false allegations against a chaste woman to say that she is so and so or something. This is about the, and this is men in many of the hadiths, and there are others. Now Ghazali says that this also, I mean, we must understand that there are three of all, there are three categories that this falls, whomever you follow. One of them is to do with your soul, or to your, with your mind, with your beliefs. And these are of the biggest kabairs. These are the biggest, because after all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is created to worship Him. And anything that hinders His worship, your worship of Him, in the right sense, is, has to be from the kabair. And that would come as kufr, for example, knowing that is anything that's blocks your knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that you can perform your ibadah, worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are of the biggest kabairs. For example, kufr, as we read here. And there are other hadiths, ours as well, as soon as we say, for example, somebody who is who despairs of the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is, he thinks that now I'm finished, despondent. He says, my prayers are not going to be heard. This is from kufr. Allah, oh, and Allah also in the Quran says that nobody despairs except the kafirs of the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the other thing is, a person who thinks that he is so good that Allah is not going to punish him, to be secure from the punishment, to feel secure from the punishment of Allah. I am so good, now whatever I do, Allah is my friend, you are going to be punished. I am safe. This is from the kabair as well in some of the hadiths. So he said these are the types that I would consider as the biggest of the kabairs. Stop you from worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala itself. This is from jahl. Your ilm of Allah is such that you think that you are safe, or that you are totally unsafe. That is despair, that nothing will. Then the second category is which has to do with your life. After all, you have to live in this world to worship Allah. So anything that destroys life is kabair. So killing, and for example, he says that people, and there are hadiths which say about stealing the money, but But nobody mentions about cutting somebody's, chopping somebody's hands off and all this. This would be even worse than stealing something from him. So anything that is sort of affects your life in such a way that you cannot worship Allah properly would then become second category. And the third category would be to do with your wealth, which you need to live in this world, to lead a life. So all those things, for example, then other things like stealing and all these things would come in this thing, which stop you from living properly so that you can fulfill your duties. So it said, anyway, even if you look at all the hadiths, you can put them in these three categories, and whatever stops you from these sort of things, then that could be, if it is grave, then that would be kabair. Now, as we said before, he says there are three conditions that are necessary for tawbah. Now this is also reflected very much so in our hadiths. Then, for example, in Kafi, though this about kabair is very sort of interesting, because as far as fiqh is concerned also, this is, and as I said, he's actually a faqih down below. There is a hadith which says, La saghirata ma'al israr. There are no small sins with israr. Israr is to be stubborn and persist on that sin. If you are doing that sin and continue doing it, then even if it is a small one, it isn't a small one. It becomes a big one. If you insist on it, if you do not stop it, if you do not feel remorse from it, you just do it because thinking, as other hadith said, that this is small, doesn't matter, you keep on doing it, then that becomes a big one. وَلَا كَبِيرَةَ مَعَ الْإِسْتَغْفَارِ. And there is no big sin if you do istighfar from it. If you do tawbah, then there isn't a big sin. It's going to be forgiven. Now here there are also hadiths which said that, for example, okay, when you do istighfar, you say that, okay, I resolve that I'm not going back on this thing. But then you go back. After all, we are human beings. So somebody asks the imam, and the imam says, in a day, even if a person makes 40 kabairs and asks istighfar, Allah will forgive him. But a person who makes more than 40, then he is not even worth calling a slave of Allah or something. He is not worth anything. I mean, forget about him. 40 is a big, I mean, looking at kabair, what they are, 40 is a big in a day. Then he'll be forgiven. This is the meaning of not being... that you should never be despondent of the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is there. So don't let sort of that thing stop you from making tawbah. He is there. So that is one point, that there is no a small sin if you persist on it. If you think it is small and keep on doing it, then it isn't a small sin. It becomes big. As it is said, for example, in the Hadith, Al-Israr an yaznibu zamma fala yastaghfiru wala yuhaddisu nafsahu bitawbati fazalika al-Israr. So what is Israr? What is persistence? If somebody commits a sin, then he does not make istighfar, he does not make tawbah, and he does not even tell himself about, or he doesn't even think about doing tawbah, then this is Israr. This is persisting on it. But if you make a tawbah, then sagir is sagir, and even kabir is not a big, even a big one is not a big sin, if you make tawbah from it. Now, as we said, that the conditions, as he says, remorse is part of it, and that you should resolve not to do it again. In Nahjul Balagha, there is a very nice sort of piece about this istighfar. When it is said that somebody sat besides, or somebody was in the presence of Imam Ali, and he said, Astaghfirullah. And Imam Ali was extremely upset with him. I mean, you would be surprised, and why should he be upset when somebody makes tawbah? He said, you don't know what the meaning of istighfar is. Don't do this sort of istighfar. This, because as the other hadith says, is istihza, that is making fun of Allah, instead of making tawbah. Because he said that there are seven conditions which are linked with tawbah, and you should not say istighfar until these seven are fulfilled. So he said the first of them is nadi. The first of them is to feel remorse, to be repentant, to be really be sorry that you have done something bad. To feel this is the first of it. And the second one is al-azmu ala tarkil awda alayhi abadan. A resolve that you will ever go back to this thing. A resolve that you will never ever do this again. And the third one, and yuaddi ila al-makhluqin hukukahum. So the third one is that you return. Now if this is tawbah from something that is affecting people, then you return or you repair what you did bad. So for it's ghiba, then you go and please them or have their permission, ask their forgiveness, because Allah cannot forgive for his slaves. Or if you've stolen something, you have to return it. Or whatever, I mean, whatever other sins may be, then you have to repair. If it is it's in need of repair, you have to repair the bad you have done. If you've made false allegations, you have to go and tell those people you made false allegations that these are false, and ask forgiveness of the person regarding whom you have made false allegations. And as you can see, it becomes extremely complicated. It's as far as business is concerned, I mean, there is a big chapter as well. It says if you have sort of undersold things to people, right, or measured less, then you have to go and give those people whom you have fooled or cheated, everybody, how are you going to find out who they are and all these things, and then there are roles, all these things, and then step five. But it, as you can see, it becomes big. I mean, just not doing tawbah. So it says, the third thing is that you give back whatever you have taken from the people. And the fourth one, it says, and then also you go and perform all the necessary or the wajibats or the farais that Allah has imposed on you. Because the sin is what? You have committed a sin. It's not only resolving not to commit that sin. From this it comes to the other, that resolving, because you are running away from a sin because it's a sin, so you have to run away from all sins. So resolving to do all the wajibats that Allah has imposed on you. And the fifth one, that if this same sin sort of was because you have sort of eaten something haram or taken somebody else's wealth or something, then you see that this flesh which has grown with this wealth dries away by fasting and by being repentant to such an extent that this flesh goes away and a new flesh comes in with halal, whatever is done halal. In fact, the wording used by the Imam is that you are so grieved by this act of yours that your grievance makes you sort of lose this flesh until your skin sticks to your bones. And all this flesh is gone away, and then another flesh grows between it. And the sixth one is that you make your body test the pain of obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just as you made it test the pain, pleasure of his disobedience. And after you have done this, then say astaghfirullah, that now I have repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and your tawbah will be fulfilled. Not before that. So as you can see, this is the real meaning of tawbah, and this is what even Ghazali sort of spells it out in pages after pages, that this is what is tawbah. Now as we can see that even, sorry, have we passed our time? I think we'll have to break otherwise, miss other lessons.